He's playing.
Uh-huh. Did they say, ever say you wanted you playing the piano like your father?
No, because he was really good. They knew why. I would listen to him and I said, no, I don't want to play that.
Don't want to play that. Tell us the different little moves that are in there so people have an understanding of a little bit of your background of the competitions and then Tanglewood and Juilliard and then when you actually are out at such a young age as a professional.
Right, well, I first started playing when I was in high school. I would play in any kind of band. I would play like funk gigs, popular music at night, playing in old New Orleans type parade bands, community band, playing band music, played in the Youth Symphony with the New Orleans Philharmonic. And then I left high school, I went to New York. This is when I was 18, I was 17 actually, I left high school. I went to New York to go to Juilliard. And I started going to school there. That was kind of difficult for me because they don't have dormitories or anything. And I had to find an apartment and stuff. And I wasn't used to taking care of myself, really cooking and stuff. I had to get that together real fast. And then I started working with Art Blakey. Mm-hmm. And actually, when I moved to New York, I met a trumpet player named Wilmer Wise. And he turned me on to jobs and stuff. See, I've always been lucky to have older musicians who looked out for me and helped me work and stuff when I needed work. He got me a job playing Sweeney Todd, right. Broadway musical. And I was sub on that, and then I started playing with Art Blakey. And then I was on the road then, playing. And I played with Herbie Hancock and Ron Carter and Tony Williams.
I mean, you got your own group now.
No, I've got my own group.
A lot of folks want to talk to you. Hi there, you're on Late Night America?
Thank you. I'm Tim from Oxford, Georgia.
Go ahead, Tim.
And Whitten's father played a wedding in New Orleans for some friends of mine a couple of weeks ago, which we're very appreciative of, and I'd like to thank him. I'd like to know from him, in listening to his Think of One album, it seemed like a very nice historical textbook of jazz trumpet playing, and I'd like maybe for him to comment a couple of times on which trumpet players, let's say from Lewis through Dizzy and Miles, impacted on him the most. So there were a lot of nice references in that album.
All right, what's happening, Tim?
Thank you.
That's good. Well, of course, the greatest trumpet player is Louis Armstrong. I love him, just for his phrasing and stuff. And then, of course, Dizzy, he was the father of the modern way of playing, which is using more eighth notes and 16th notes and just different rhythms and different extensions of the chord. And then Miles, of course, the way he plays lyrically and his use of space and just his concept of playing with a band. And then there's Don Cherry, who I love. He played with Ornette Coleman. And he's the most contemporary trumpet player to date for just the way he plays, not phrasing in four bars, which is a very difficult thing to do. And the way he uses different registers. And then, of course, there's people like Lee Morgan and Freddie Hubbard and Kenny Durham and also Fats Navarro and Clifford Brown, who I love very much. So.
Hi there, you're on Late Night America?
Yes, my name's Paula. I'm from Washington, D.C.
Hi there.
And I just recently read in a PBS article that you wouldn't be mixing jazz and classical probably again in a classical concert because it was too difficult technically. Do you think you'll be continuing to do classical performances and recordings as well as jazz? I like the songs, and I was introduced to jazz music through your recordings because I liked your classical recordings so much.
Well, first of all, thank you very much. And right now I have some tours scheduled from the end of July, end of this month, August, September, and October. And I'll be playing classical music in a lot of different places. And in 1985, I think March and August, I'll have some months set aside to just play classical music with various orchestras. And I just finished another classical recording, which will be out in September.
Hi there, you're on Late Night America?
Hello, my name's Randy. I'm calling from Tallahassee, Florida.
Go ahead, Randy.
I had a question for Whitten, if you could comment a little bit on jazz education in America today. It seems like it's taught in the high schools by people who don't always know exactly what's going on. Sometimes the kids get a cheap imitation version of it. I wonder if you could make a comment on that.
That's really a great question. Jazz education is pretty sad. Of course, all the jazz educators would be mad, but I go to jazz festivals and stuff, and most of the bands that are playing funk and pop music, they don't play jazz. I think that the major reason for miseducation is because of the 70s, when for some reason the musicians and the educators allowed the record companies and the business entrepreneurs to put a title on one of America's most precious resources, which is this art form. I think what has to happen is, I'll give you an example. You can go to a college big band festival and not maybe one band in the whole country will play a Duke Ellington arrangement. And it's outrageous. Mm-hmm. And everybody's playing these slick funk tunes. And we aren't being responsible for educating the younger people the way jazz has to be taught. Like, when I grew up in New Orleans, my father was the jazz teacher at the New Orleans Center for Creative Arts High School. Mm-hmm. Now, this year, he has 3 students. This is in the whole city of New Orleans. My father has 3 students. This is at a public school. You don't pay money to go there.
Oh my God, and the opportunity to study with him would be, I mean, people would probably go down there and want to study.
Right, you know, there's 3 students in the whole. What we need is we have to have clubs on the side the students can play in.
Now, what does that mean when somebody of his reputation, you have to say a cult figure in music, especially in that area, and bigger than that. What do you think it's all about when he has 3 students?
Well, I think the first thing is that indicates the students are not serious about learning, and the second thing is that they don't think that there's going to be jobs in this particular field, and the third thing is that all the students are playing pop music and being in marching bands.
Mm-hmm. Hi there, you're on Late Night America.
Hi, Dennis. My name's Bill from Detroit.
Hi, Bill.
I'd like to ask Wynton, and he kind of answered it through the previous question, but I'm new on to jazz, and there seems to be a dichotomy of the music between what they call fusion and the more traditional aspect of jazz. And I was just wondering what Wynton's feelings were on the fusion aspect of it, and if in fact that is jazz or what.
Okay, well, maybe explain that term for us too.
All right, well, what fusion is when you fuse pop music together with jazz. You fuse a funk beat with some what we call bebop licks. So they come out with music that goes damn. Usually they use Latin grooves. It's like the groove goes tang, 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 get the tone, tang, and the music is going little, 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 runs like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now this is not jazz, because jazz music developed. All right, first it was dance music. Now in the 1940s, it no longer became dance music. Now as an art form, the music will not regress back to dance music. The music will only progress, it only on the artistic plane. And what happened with fusion is it was a lot of it was media and record companies trying to capitalize on the name of jazz and make people think that this was a new type of hipper popular music which is going to be called jazz.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a hipper type of popular music, and fusion is very good music. When I was growing up, we used to just buy fusion albums. But fusion is not real jazz. Fusion is not jazz, and this is, I'm not trying to be elitist or be a jazz purist. Fusion is good music, and if you like fusion records, great, go out and buy all of them. But fusion is a trend. Fusion is not like the real jazz, because real jazz is strongly rooted.
Who are examples that might come to mind in fusion?
Fusion, well, I hate to say that, because then all the fusion cats that I know will get mad. But fusion is like Chick Corea's band, and he used to have Spiral Gyra.
Okay.
And now a lot of jazz artists, like Herbie did fusion, at Herbie Hancock fusion albums. So the albums that he does now are pop albums. They're on fusion albums. Mm-hmm. Weather Report.
Let me sneak in one more call here. Hi there, you're on Late Night America?
Yes, my name is Tom Green. I'm calling from Roosevelt, Long Island. I really don't have a question. I would like to make a statement. It's that I think Wynton Marsalis is like a modern-day genius. I like where he's coming from. He's really more or less an inspiration for the young jazz-loving generation, and I really wish he would keep it up. He should more or less clone his ideologies, you know, because everyone's really going commercial. Just like you mentioned Herbie Hancock's career. Mm-hmm. They're all into commercialism, money-making, and I really like where he's coming from.
Thanks, and once again, I'd like to say is I appreciate that. But I'm not trying to cut down any musician. You know, I'm not standing in judgment of Herbie or Miles Davis or any of these musicians who decide to play pop music. They were great musicians when they were playing jazz, and they're great as pop musicians, some of them. The only thing that I want is clarification for the purpose of education. Mm-hmm. Of young musicians.
You're glad that way back when somebody made you study hard, right?
Definitely. And it's the musicians that I named that really made me study hard.
Right.
Miles and Herbie listening to their records. And so I have utmost respect for them. It's just that I understand what the difference is. You know what I mean?
Let me just tell the folks that you're going to be on tour this summer in Toronto, Atlanta, Washington, D.C., Vancouver, Los Angeles, San Francisco, New York. And if you really want an education and to see the difference of what we've been talking about, hold up the 2 albums at the same time here. One classical and one in jazz. And I had the opportunity to put both of them on this afternoon and appreciate the beautiful, the difference in the styles. And I understood what you were doing about, if you study it, you should be able to play both, huh? I mean, if you have that talent. We thank you for being with us tonight. Thank you all for your calls, friends. Thursday, former Congresswoman Bella Abzug is going to be here. She's going to stop off on her way to the Democratic National Convention. And also, we're going to talk about the effect of slavery on today's black Americans. Make sure you have some fun tomorrow. Good night from Detroit. We thank Winton for paying us a visit. Thank you very much.
Presentation of WTVS in Detroit, brought to you by Public Television Station.